Today on Real Radio.
Mark them who cause divisions. The word divisions means separations, factions, groups, or cliques. And offenses. That word offenses means obstacles in Greek. Contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. He says, and avoid them. The word avoid means to turn them out.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Acts. Over the past few programs, we've been looking at chapter 4, the first 23 verses of which tell us of Peter and John and their evangelistic endeavors. Well, this was getting under the skin of the religious authorities who had the two arrested. From verse 23 on, we read of how the recently converted reacted after the release of these two disciples. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in this presentation called Church Jesus Style.
Their agenda was that they wanted to share the Word of God because Jesus told them to. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, go in the power of the Holy Spirit. To do what? They knew already, to teach and to preach in the name of the Lord. And so we see in verses 25 to 28, the Word of God is behind the church. We have prayer going before the church. We have the Word of God behind the church and its message. We need to be so committed to the Word of God. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that word, when he says men shall not live by bread alone, that word means bread, actual sustenance needed for life. It doesn't matter what your intake, whatever your intake might be to sustain life, the Word of God is above it. The Word of God is more important. Jesus said so. In Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, listen, Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It's forever. That's something to get behind. Verse 25. Now they're praying still, but remember this, how this happens. Now they're praying, verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Notice that they're praying using the Bible. They're quoting the Psalm. You want to have your prayers answered? Get into the Bible. Use the Bible. We say that often here. You want to get encouraged in your prayer life? Gosh, I'm not seeing anything happen. There's a secret. John 15:7. You know the scripture by now. If my word abides in you, you may ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Pray Bible. You don't ever have to worry about God answering your prayer or not. Pray Bible. An example. Lord, you've asked us to spread your gospel all around the world. We're going to do it. Now, God, we're going to go out there and we're asking you to bless us. We're asking you to empower us. We're asking you to be our strength. Why? Because you've asked us to take your word around the world. Pray like that. God gets behind that. God, when we pray, you made heaven and earth. You're the creator of everything. You've done it all. And what we want to do is share this message with the people on the streets. We want you to bless us. If you're in it, Lord, open the door. He'll do that, guaranteed. He'll definitely answer it. Maybe no, not yet, or no, I don't want you to, or yes, I do. But he'll answer if we pray Bible. These guys knew the Word of God, so much so they're quoting it in their prayer life. That's effective. We need to mimic this. By the way, you see in verse 25 it says, why did the nations rage? That word rage is a great word in the Hebrew. It means to flare the nostrils. It's an equestrian term concerning horses. It means that the horse with bridle and bit begins to wave and shake its neck and snort. Why did the nations shake their neck back and forth and snort? And the people plot vain things, literally empty strategies against God. The kings of the earth took their stand. Means they braced themselves to fight God. Isn't that amazing? Good luck. He always wins. And the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. They're all ready, they're all braced, and they're all together to fight God. They pray Bible, and the precious thing is, get this, they begin to equate this ancient psalm to their own lives. Hey, that is precious. With what's happening in your life, can you find application in the Bible and pray accordingly? They did that. And they say in verse 27, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed," get this, "both Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together." I got news for you. There's nobody else left. That's the whole world. The Gentiles, the Jews, Herod, and Pilate. Everybody are gathered together. They would not agree on anything. They even hated each other. But when it came to Jesus Christ, they agreed. And that is, destroy him. You may be here for a lot of reasons. And you might have said, you know what, I don't need God. I think it's weak. I don't need that. I don't need that stuff in my life. You know what? Can I challenge you for a moment? And if you want to argue about this, I'd love to argue with you about this. No problem. I want you to know that if you're rejecting Christ this morning, it's an emotional issue with you. It has nothing to do with your intellect. I want you to know that. It's not because you're smarter. If you're really smart, you'd accept Christ. But it has nothing to do with your brain power or your IQ. If you're resisting Jesus Christ this morning, it's because you fail to look at the evidence. Well, I'm just not into this blind leap of faith. Neither am I. I'm not into that either. That's why I rejected evolution. I'm not into blind leaps of faith. The facts are here. The fact of the matter is, you need to accept Jesus Christ. Because you cannot generate one logical, one rational, one intelligent argument for why you haven't come to Christ. And right about now, if that's you, you're getting angry at me. But it's not me. The power is the truth of the gospel. You can't generate one intelligent defense about why you're not a Christian. Well, my Sunday school teacher was a weirdo. That doesn't count. She didn't die for your sins. Well, you know, those guys on TV, neither did they. Well, I don't like your shirt. I didn't die for your sins. It's not me. It's not the guy next to you. It's not your family. It's not the guy on TV. The bottom line is Jesus Christ. And the church that prays and the church that is in the Word has Jesus front and center. It's not us. Don't look at us for the answer. And don't watch us. We'll let you down. But look at him. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him, or the Bob, or the Karen, or the Bill, endured the cross, was for you. But don't think it's an intellectual issue. It's a heart issue. And verse 28 tells us, it says there, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. God knew the world would kill Jesus. That's why God sent his son. He knew that they were going to kill him. But going to the cross, knowing that the bulk of the humanity would reject him, Jesus still went to the cross and died for you personally. Now, Jeff was telling us this morning about prisons. And in Russia, it's relatively easy. They want you there. But what if you went to the prison over here? And right when you got there, God speaks to your heart and says, you know what? You're going to go in there and they're going to start throwing bricks at you. They're going to throw poles and shoot you, and you're going to die. But be of good cheer, because five people are going to accept me and go to heaven. What would you do? Remember, you left the pot on in the oven? I think I need to, what would you do? Jesus knew what would happen to him when he was coming, and he went anyway. Would you? It's an amazing thought. He loves you even though you don't love yourself. He loves you. God knew all this. And in verse 28 speaks about the awesome power of God ordaining this. And then we'll wrap this up in the third point. And that is in verses 29 to 31, where the scripture says there to us, "Now, Lord," they pray, they're still praying, "look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we can turn and run like absolute cowards." No. They didn't even pray to be rescued. "Lord, look at their threats. You heard them, Jesus. You heard what they had to say. Fill us with total boldness to confront it." That's what they're praying. We're not going to run from it. We've got your word. We're praying about it. Grant us your boldness. Now, what do you think? You think God's going to say, I don't want them to have boldness. I want them to be total failures and eat it totally on this project. God's behind them. You can have the confidence that this church has in Acts 4 because it's the same God. You've got the same mission, and that's to present the gospel to people. God wants to give you the boldness, and they know this. They're saying, "God, give us boldness." You want to know if their prayer was answered or not? Because I can't stand to wait for find out if prayer is answered or not. Let's look at verse 33. Let's sneak ahead to next week. Isn't that terrible? Don't tell anybody. "And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Isn't that great? God answered their prayer. Why? They prayed the will of God. They prayed. They were in the Word. And you know how all this stuff was birthed, how it all came together? In verses 29 to 31, we see the unity of the church. Inside, the church is united. And I want you to hang on to your seats. Look what happens. Verse 30, "By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." That's God's will, by the way. Verse 31, "And when they had prayed," did their prayer reach heaven? Were they praying correctly? Were they in one accord? Verse 24 told us that they were in one accord, you know. That means they had one mind, one purpose, one direction. "When they prayed, the place that they were gathered was shaken." And what happened? "They spoke the word of God with boldness." My heart burns inside me this morning. I have goosebumps as I speak, thinking about that verse and the potential that we have right now. The potential is here. Jesus has been telling us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says, be filled over and over again and again. It's time to be filled again today. We need to go forth in His power. We need to share the Word of God. And when we pray, we ought to expect, the next time we go to a prayer meeting, we ought to expect the walls to shake. We ought to be looking for God to move. And if you're going to come to a prayer meeting thinking that it's a place to sleep, stay home. It's a little hard, don't you think? Just wait. God wants to move. He wants to go. Time is short, and He wants to use you to do it. And we need to be in prayer. We need to be in the Word of God, and we need to be in unity, and that's why God answered the prayer here. They're absolutely in unity. The uniform or the united body went up and God came down. And I want to say this. I want to give you some scriptures. And if this is your home fellowship, people, it's not an option that you write these down. You got to write these down. You have got to write these verses down this morning. The scripture tells us, Amos 3:3, "Can two walk together unless they agree?" The answer is no. And the word that is implied is that if the feet go to the right and the head go to the left, you'll have nothing but a spasmodic freak laying on the ground, freaking out, not knowing which way to go. How can two walk together unless they agree? And how many churches are like that? The pastor says right, the board says left, the church goes, I don't care. And it's a tragedy. And I want you to know something, it's not going to happen here. It's not happening here. But it's never going to happen here. We're going to stay in the Word, we're going to stay in prayer, and we're going to stay in fellowship or unity. We are commanded to be in unity. The Scripture tells us in the book of Psalms how good and how pleasant it is that the brethren dwell together in unity. That's Psalm 133, verses 1 and 2. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil, that's the Holy Spirit symbolized in the Scriptures, upon your head, running down upon the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. And what that means is the Holy Spirit is the oil. In unity, the Holy Spirit comes. Aaron is the priest, by the way, so are you. And the garment upon Aaron was his life. It's what he stood for. And you stand for something as well. Are you united with the body of Christ? Well, it's got some problems. No kidding. But you standing back in the corner, poking your finger at it and accusing it of stuff doesn't make it any better. And if that's what you're doing, you're probably the bulk of the problem. Serious. Unity. Jesus died for unity. The world is so fragmented and dislocated and disjointed, and Jesus died to bring us back together. Now listen to this. This gets tough. And right now, this is church business. We're having a meeting right now. If you're visiting for the first time, we love you. But now we're in the church business. Paul the Apostle told us in Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Jot it down. Paul told us this. Now I beseech you, brethren. The word means I beg of you. To mark those who cause division. The word mark means to take aim at or to draw the line on, like you're going to shoot something. That's what the word mark means. Mark them who cause divisions. The word divisions means separations, factions, groups, or cliques. And offenses. That word offenses means obstacles in Greek. Contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. He says, and avoid them. Listen, this is hard. Listen. Avoid them. The word avoid means to turn them out. Paul says, mark them. Avoid them. Turn them out. Those who do what? Cause cliques and divisions. This body in 3.5 years has just exploded. And for those of us who are still in ministry, it still seems very small. But there's some people we don't know one another and we've never met yet. And it's tragic. I'm meeting people now who have been here for a year. I'm just meeting them this week. It's weird. And I step back and I say, God, I don't want this to get out of hand. This is getting a little too big. But if you and I, who love Jesus Christ, will seek to promote unity in the body, if you're in prayer and if you're in the Word, we don't ever have to worry about size because you'll be loving the guy next to you as though he was here from the very first day. And if you're not doing that, then you're not promoting what Jesus wants done, and that's unity in the body. Jesus said about those who are hypocrites, he said, you guys are like open graves who discourage unity, and you're like an open sepulcher, for out of your mouth spews all of this venom. How is unity destroyed? Through gossip, murmuring, complaining, whining. I love 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks a year, we're in Russia. And the group, 11 hours of prayer, a group goes in before they get on the plane. And the first meeting we have to the last meeting we have to every day in Russia is there's no whining allowed. You cannot complain. You complain, you sit in the bus. Play with the keys. No whining. No complaining. We will smile. We will smile. We'll have a good time. We'll have a good time. You whine, you sit in the bus. That same thing goes for this body. You whine? Go sit in the bus. Stay home. Everything, and I've told you before, over anything that this board and this church deals with is first question. Rule number one, how is this thing going to glorify Jesus Christ? If it doesn't pass the test, we flush it. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're about to say, ask yourself, how is this going to glorify Jesus Christ?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Church Jesus Style, a look at the latter part of Acts chapter 3. We'll continue through this New Testament narrative on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us once again. And by the way, we'd also like you to join us at the Southern California Prophecy Conference. The Southern California Prophecy Conference is in January and is expected to be a big one, Lord willing, of course. And Pastor Jack, what's really amazing to me is the reputation of all of these speakers and authorities that we'll all have here in one weekend.
Yes, this is going to be a good time if you think about it, because we're very blessed to be hosting this event here at our facility. And by the grace of God, we'll be able to get everybody in the building. But as you can see by the title, this is the Southern California Prophecy Conference. We're going to have believers from all denominations coming, which I think is very exciting because, you know, let's be honest, some groups focus too much on prophecy. Some don't speak about it at all. There's something maybe in the middle. The great thing is, as we get this conference going, the people are going to find out that, boy, there's brothers and sisters in Christ, not only around my own community and around the Southland here, but around the world,
right,
as the speakers will be representing their own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are coming from various parts of the world. I think of Bridget Gabriel, who was born and raised in Lebanon, who came to faith as a young child there under the persecution and ill treatment that she experienced. And of course, everyone can read her book.
Right.
That's now a New York Times bestselling book. But I think of Ergun Kaner, who was born and raised in Turkey. And Ergun will be here speaking. And Ergun's a wonderful brother and exciting brother to hear. But I tell you what, Ergun Kaner, who was a Muslim, a Sunni Muslim, came to faith in Jesus Christ in Ohio, who got so into studying Christianity and understood it and was blessed by the Lord Jesus that Ergun Kaner is now president of Liberty University in Virginia.
Wow.
And boy, only Jesus can do something like that in the life of a former Muslim. But, you know, we have probably one of the most famous of our speakers, Waleed Shubat. Waleed Shubat was born and raised in Bethlehem. He was a Palestinian, worked for the PLO, and was a terrorist. And Waleed Shubat, anyone can get his books or they can listen to him online. I think there's some YouTube locations that host Waleed Shubat. But I've heard Waleed Shubat speak several times. I've had the high honor of speaking with Waleed Shubat and listening to him. And he loves the Lord. And to hear and see a life change, this man's going to be representing, if you think about it, representing a life that was born and raised in the Middle East in Islam, and a terrorist who has been won to Christ by the love of God, and now he stands firm.
Well, okay, now you can understand now why we're letting you know about this event so far in advance. Now, it is a ticketed event, so just log on to the Southern California Prophecy Conference website to find out more. SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. To get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.